Someone recently spoke out of Book of Acts, very recently, and there's a lot crammed in here, Acts of the Apostles, I'm going to go I'd like to concentrate in the second chapter, I guess if I had a text this morning, it's chapter 2, verse 38, when Peter answered a question that was asked of him. So I'm gonna go there. But before that, now I'm always harping on wanting to know the audience or the speaker or the writer and all. Number of people involved. I think that's we're given that in God's Word, so it must mean something, and so we can skip ahead and see in verse 41 that 3,000 souls were added to the church. So there's 3,000 right there. That's out of whatever number that listened to Peter's sermon. They listened to the gospel being preached. There's 3,000 added. Not all that heard Peter preach heard it. But I want to jump back to the first chapter and come through here a bit, and we'll lead up to the number of people that are there to that heard the Apostle Peter preach. So in the first chapter, it speaks in the second verse of the apostles whom Jesus had chosen. And so here we have the apostles, and then they're referred to in the fourth verse, them. Seems like me and Kathy get so turned around and all when we start using pronouns, personal pronouns. She's talking about one person. I'm talking about somebody else, and just get makes a big mess. And so I've got to try to work to do that. But see, go back to the noun, the personal, the one who it is, and come through. So this is where this starts out here. Then we come down to the 12th verse. Says, then returned they unto Jerusalem. Still the apostles. They returned to Jerusalem. 13th verse is when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. So I'm not going to read all the names there. And then it says, 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. We keep getting more and more details on this. Same group here. In the 15th verse, it says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and if you skip down, then there's a parenthetical statement here. It says, the number of names together were about 120. So this is the, you know, I'd mentioned that 3,000 they were added. They were added 3,120. It's what, and when you go to chapter 2, verse 41, adding those together. So they continued here, and he spoke. And then down in verse 26, and I'm getting back to chapter 2. This is the last verse in the first chapter. This is when they chose another, and prayerfully chose another, cast lots for another apostle. Judas was gone. And so in the 26th verse, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. We've got 12 apostles here. All that's very easy. It's straightforward and all, if you just follow through there. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So it's on the day of Pentecost here. And this, of course, all of this second chapter is very familiar. It should be. But I'll put you in remembrance of some of these things and bring out some points toward the, you know, verse 38 through 47 down in there in a moment. But in the fourth verse, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, gave them utterance to speak in the tongues of all the men, all of the ones that were there. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. So there's a lot of people here they're talking about. Now we expand this group from 12, 120, to a bunch here, the Jews, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, so when the word got around that these men, they're Galileans, and so they're speaking, though, we can understand them from all nations. And this was by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that this was done. Gave the apostles the power to do that. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude, now here we go, came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So we have a multitude now. Now, we don't know a certain number, and we don't have to here. It does say why God chose to reveal that 3,000 were added. I don't know. My mind will go, was it 3,000? Was it 2,999? 3,001 or 2? You know, was it actually? Well, it says 3,000. Can't imagine a meeting like that. And then those that were not added to the church or that had early on walked away. I'm not even talking about, well, in this respect, if they're children of God, born regenerated children of God, if I tell you what, if they were cut to the heart and not pricked in the heart at what Peter preached then there's a difference there. But that's not truly my point today. Now, so in the 14th verse, but Peter, standing up with the 11, so here there's the 12 again, lifted up his voice and said unto them, said unto the multitude. Now he's talking to the multitude. There's the audience. All that, all those words to get to who is it that Peter's preaching to here? What's the crowd like here? A lot of times someone will go to a church meeting or we'll go and someone will ask us or we'll ask them. And of course, we should always ask, well, was the Lord there? It's like, okay. Usually we'll hear about that or we'll actually see it online or something. But we ask, well, how was it a good crowd there? And some meetings, you know, it's overflowing. They have to get chairs out and so forth and everything. But here is a multitude. I'm curious. Don't have to know, but I'm curious, what is the number of those people? You know, he fed the 5,000 and so forth, and here, but here we have, Jesus did, but here Peter is, he stood up here with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, and he mentions the men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. So Peter is about to get going here. They've already spoken in unknown tongues, is what people will say. It was in these people's native tongues, is what's going on there. So now we come back down, and in the 22nd verse of this second chapter, he says, Peter says, addresses them as, ye men of Israel. Ye men of Israel. So he kind of gives more details there. And Peter just, he preaches about the Redeemer, Savior Jesus Christ. He's just preaching the truth. It's not like he's making any of this stuff up. Neither was Stephen when he preached. But he lost his life. All he did was go through all this stuff. Well, they didn't like what they heard. And preachers today, it happens still today. We're not immune to that. A preacher getting up and maybe somebody or not liking what he said or the way he said it and all. We're fallible and humans and so forth. But hope we never drag in a bunch of rocks and start throwing them. But anyway, so we have this multitude here. And so we know where I'm going to begin here in this 37th verse of the second chapter. Now, when they are the multitude. It's not the 12. Yeah, they're there, or the other 11. It's this multitude. When they heard this, there's another pronoun, this, heard what? Heard the gospel preached. They heard Peter's sermon is what they heard. He just finished it here. And the last thing he says in that 36th verse is, Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's where he wrapped up his sermon. That's pretty rough. But they had. I picture this. They're in Jerusalem. How many of them actually hollered out audibly with their voices, crucify him, crucify him. Let Barabbas go. They're there. They're in this multitude here. This is the congregation that Peter's preaching to here. It says, now when they heard this, now this narrows it down some. They were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. So this is a subset of that multitude because everyone was not pricked in their heart. Everyone did not hear this. The ones that heard it, obviously, we're alive naturally. They have natural life, so they heard it, of course. But spiritually, they heard it as well. We're not talking about, Cast out those ones that are not, number one, that are children of God, not yet born again. They don't have an ear to hear yet. They can't hear. The gospel is for the regenerated child of God. You're not going to hear it. It's going to be foolishness. That, the Bible's full of that. So we know that. Now, when they heard this, heard the gospel preached by Peter, they heard his sermon. They were pricked in their heart. It touched them. Something happened there. So, yes, there is a result to the gospel. If someone says, well, if you don't think the gospel saves us eternally, why do you keep preaching it all? It sounds pretty important right now. In this verse, to Peter it did, because it touched them. And it was not Peter himself. It was the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, using Peter and used this means to save them from something on that day, not eternally. That's been done. Not only had that been done by Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior, these were already children of God, born again, so they heard him. So that word heard is very important. Pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember the Apostle Paul's Damascus Road experience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Called him Lord. Before that, he'd been killing and putting in bonds, Christians, so forth. But that's obviously a whole other story. They said, what shall we do? So now the part of the multitude that heard this, were pricked in the heart by Peter's sermon, had this question. And then Peter gives them an answer. So now we're down back to the 38th verse, where I first brought your mind to when I started. Then Peter said unto them. So there's a couple of things here in this answer of Peter. Here's what you need to do. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We baptize with water up here. You've heard me say it. I say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then I baptize someone. That does not save us. That does not wash away our sins. It doesn't. Yet, he's saying, here's what you should do is repent and be baptized in water. So there's a repentance there. It's not just, oh, you need to just go be baptized. Obviously, they needed to change. They needed to turn aside from something to something else. And so then he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This baptism and repentance is a manifestation of the remission of their sins by Jesus Christ. It's in Christ Jesus. He washed us of our sins. This is not to do this in order to have remission ourselves of our sins. But then he says, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't say, if you do these two things, you will receive the Holy Ghost. They have the Holy Ghost. They have Jesus Christ dwelling, abiding in them by the Spirit of God. That's already there, or they wouldn't have heard, and they would not have been pricked in the heart by Peter's sermon. That's all first. So I hope you see the order here in this, and I'm just reading what's here. It's nothing that I'm making up, but so when he says, answers their question, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. If they do that, they will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If they don't, they do not. I'm not making that up. It says it right there. If you do these two things, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is not, again, it's not you do these and you'll be regenerated. That's done. I guess, I don't know, should not bear down and keep repeating all of that, but because you know that. But you shall. So if they do these two things, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So this gift of the Holy Ghost. Now some, as I studied this and researched this, and you may already be aware of it, but the material that you would find, and there's one certain denomination that has a specific view of this, which it's not accurate either. I don't even have to mention who it is or anything, but you'll find certain things there that they believe. But then others are proponents of this gift of the Holy Ghost was the speaking in other tongues. That, oh, because of what just happened to Peter and the 11 and all there, that they're saying, oh, well, this just happened, I guess. The gift of the Holy Ghost is that. No, that's not it. That is not the answer. We don't have that. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, gave them that power there. So that is not it. Now, I will say in the... let me go ahead and get the 39th verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So he wraps that up. Now, this next two verses, the 40th and 41st verse, we have then what happened. We see that transition right there. Peter's preached his sermon. The Holy Ghost has blessed him to do that. The Holy Ghost has blessed a huge number, 3,000 of the multitude, to hear and receive and accept Peter's sermon, which was a message from God to his people, is what that was. So this is where we stand now, and then we'll see what happened to it. Then the 42nd through the 47th verses, all of that, I believe, lists out the gift of the Holy Ghost, or at least all of these things are listing part of what is included in the gift of the Holy Ghost. It brings out those points in those verses. We're beyond now the preaching of the sermon, them hearing the sermon, what do we do, what should we do, and then what happened, that I'll read those two verses in a moment. Now we're beyond that. As a result of all of that, then what takes place? So let me grab the next two verses, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So there's another. We have repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then also, it says, they will save themselves from this untoward generation. There's a salvation in that, in repenting and being baptized. We see right here in the 41st verse, it is the entrance to the church that Jesus Christ had recently set up. He didn't set it up on the day of Pentecost. It was already there. It was already there. 120 people. Then they that gladly received his word. So they that gladly received the words of Peter, this is what this is talking about. So this huge subset of the multitude, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they're added. This is how many. I can't imagine that one day here I baptized two at the same time. I can't imagine 3,000 there. talk about a successful meeting, a successful, now I know this is Pentecost and all the feasts and stuff that they would observe and so forth, but the blessing of Peter there, and something that helps me, this is personal to me, a little side note, that as a minister, it gives me encouragement that I know what Peter did to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ not long ago. You all know that, what he did, denying him and all. And first he says, oh, I'll go to the grave with you and all this. I'll drink the cup. And I believe he believed that. But then he denied Christ and all. He was very bold, Peter was. We know we can read things that he said and did, even at that Cornelius, the Gentile experience of Peter, that he kept saying, not so, Lord, not so, Lord, instead of saying, yes, yes, Lord, I'll do that. But the fact that the Spirit of God, God himself, blessed Peter, this sinner, saved by the grace of God to preach this sermon. And 3,000 people were added here that day. So, again, so moving forward. Now, before I talk, not long, just briefly on those, the rest of those, the 42nd through the 47th verses, and just bring out a couple of things there. This gift of the Holy Ghost, I believe we all know what the Holy Ghost is in some respect. The Spirit of God. It's one of the Trinity, part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know that. We know a lot of his office work. Certainly, that is who regenerated us, applying the work of Christ to us and all. But in relation to the 42nd through the 47th verse, I want to go to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, and just with just respect to what's happening here and what just happened. John 14 and 26, Jesus talking here. He's comforting. I believe I went to this. Oh, on Wednesday I went to this at the memorial service. This 14th verse of chapter of John, but 26th verse says, 25th verse. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He's consoling them. This Jesus is about to be nailed to a cross, take on him the wrath of God, and be slain by evil and wicked men, and yet he's consoling the 12 here, his apostles, his disciples. He's consoling them. He does care. He's compassionate. But the Comforter, which is capitalized, which is the Holy Ghost. So this Comforter that Jesus is speaking of, it just tells us in plain, not in black and white, I guess in red and white, that Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, this Comforter. So now that expands as you go off home and study more about the Holy Ghost and then about the Comforter. Now you can see, well, where all is the Comforter mentioned? That's the Holy Ghost. That's one of the Trinity there. Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And I'm going to go to a couple other verses and get this and then go back to the second chapter of Acts. But I will say, certainly we do not believe that, and this gift of the Holy Ghost, we already know, because it's written right in there by God, that if you do repent, be baptized, you will receive that gift. We have preached, I've said it, other preachers have, and all that, since there are those children of God in the world, in all these years past that certainly never set foot in a church, Amen. In a church, or that never heard the gospel preached, that never discussed it, but I like the verse that says, is the Lord's hand shortened that it cannot save? No, he saves. And the Comforter goes to those children. It's a child of God. It's a saint, this one that's not ever and never will hear the gospel preached. It's a sinner. They've been saved. They would hear this. But yet the gift of the Holy Ghost does not mean that the Holy Ghost does not take up residence in those that never hear a sermon. Because these heard the sermon, and Peter said, you repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, in just one chapter over, chapter 15, also the 26th verse, Jesus says, the 26th verse, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, even the Spirit of Truth. Here's another name, Spirit of Truth. This Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Since that was there, now I'm going to go to Ephesians, the first chapter, just one verse, and then I'm finished with this, I believe, Holy Ghost here, if I can find. Can't seem to get past Corinthians. Okay. Ephesians 1 and 13. This is talking about Christ, talking about Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. That word, is not capitalized. This is the word of truth that they heard after that part of that multitude heard the word of God, the word of truth. How'd they hear it? The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. That's who was present that day. After that, she heard the word of truth. Then he rephrases it. The gospel of your salvation. It's the gospel of your salvation. Yes, there's a salvation in hearing the gospel. I tell you what, if someone hears the gospel, they're pricked in the heart. They respond by, what do I do? What do I need to do? Well, for here and now, today, it's repent and be baptized. That's it. Oh, and he's already told us what will happen. Oh, I'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you do those things, if there's a condition on it, it ain't eternal right here. It's just not. It's not. This is here. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's another name for him there. So this is, that describes, go back to the chapter 2, verse 42 of Acts. As we see some of the descriptions of the manifestation of the gift of the Holy Ghost, this is here. Remember, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. And I think it's 1 John chapter 5 somewhere in there, that the Spirit is truth. It is truth. That's the only way this multitude could be pricked in the heart and hear these and then respond to the sound of the gospel. I still go back to Jonah and how he got so angry that those Ninevites accepted his sermon, his words. Well, they're doing what God wanted. They had the effect that God desired them to have. And Jonah's, they didn't like him. They were wicked people and all. And they soon, things changed. But anyway, but here, Peter, and I also think of Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever lived. He preached, he said some, as they put it, this is a hard saying. We can't do this. And they walked away. People walked away. That was that sermon. Some here did, I'm sure. It says, anyway, won't go back to that. So in this, the gift of the Holy Ghost here, I'm not going to read these verses. Maybe you already have or will later, but we have revelation of this. I think of Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's multiple things. It has a list there. The gift of the Holy Ghost is multiple things and all. We don't, it may be different for different ones, but here are some. We see verse 42 mentions that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So continued steadfastly. We need the Holy Ghost for that. We need a special amount of grace to remain faithful. So this gift of the Holy Ghost is given to faithful believers. They've done what they were called to do here in time, because Jesus Christ died for them. And then it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So we're given reverential fear. When you look to God and you revere Him and are fearful of Him as the great Almighty God that He is, then that's the Holy Ghost. That is part of the gift of the Holy Ghost that we're given. Had we not repented and been baptized, Peter said, God said through Peter, we wouldn't receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you try to separate all this out. We can talk about it later. It says, 44th verse, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So there's unity there. There's unity. That is certainly part of the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's commonality and unity. That commonality, the unity in the church is miraculous. Amen. It is a miracle. I think we all know each other well enough that we see unity is a miracle. I know myself, and it's a constant battle. And it says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So we have these needy, those that need something. Now, this does not say also, it says they and sold their possession. It didn't say they sold every single thing they owned, all of their possessions. This is not teaching that we need to sell everything we have or just give everything away. But it's impressing upon us the generosity that we should have in everyday life, anytime. And so the generosity here, that is part of the gift of the Holy Ghost. We need Him if we're going to do that in our lives. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So the continuing daily, they are faithful believers. They are the ones that have been blessed with this gift of the Holy Ghost here. They needed that. Whether or not, I don't even have to think about or dwell upon how many of them, of the 3,000, actually were a part of the church. And then when they died their natural death and went on to be with Jesus and God Almighty, because of what Jesus Christ did, what God did, what the Holy Ghost did, that I don't know if they were still in the church. Doesn't matter. Didn't affect their eternal home. Does not. But I tell you what, I want to hang on to the gift of the Holy Ghost. I need that. Then it wraps it up here, and I'll close. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, there's that word, added to the church daily such as should be saved from the untoward generation, given the gift of the Holy Ghost. May God bless and keep you. We'll close the service. We'll sing a song now.
Doors of the church, the membership, if anyone has a desire to join, you let me know. Then we'll shake one another's hands if it's so desired. Number 266. Sorry. 266. Grace.